I won't give away the punchline of this presentation, but after looking at the low coverage rates of the conjugate vaccine, you might guess that we haven't seen too much of a change in the epidemiology. But I'm going to be looking at the 4 years immediately before and the 2 years after the licensure of the meningococcal conjugate vaccine in California. So just as a little background on the disease, it's caused by the bacterium Neisseria meningitidis. It's an invasive disease that's often manifested as meningococcemia or meningitis. Approximately 10% or 9 to 12% of all cases are fatal, and as many as 20% of survivors have some sort of permanent sequela, like limb loss or hearing loss or perhaps some other nerve damage. In the United States, serogroups B, C, and Y account for the vast majority of the cases. And currently, there's two vaccines available in the U.S., the meningococcal polysaccharide vaccine and the meningococcal conjugate vaccine. And both contain antigens for serogroups A, C, Y, and W135. And today, I'm going to be focusing on the conjugate vaccine. So just a little timeline. The vaccine was first licensed in January of 2005, and it was licensed for persons aged 11 to 55 years of age. And in May of 2005, ACIP came out with their first set of recommendations, which you just heard details of in the last presentation. But between July and October of 2006, there was a vaccine shortage. So we know the uptake of the vaccine was slow, but we don't have good estimates from our state registry yet as to what that actual uptake was. In June of 2007, ACIP revised the recommendations to include routine vaccination of all adolescents aged 11 to 18 years. And in October of last year, licensure was expanded to include all children 2 to 10 years of age. But ACIP is not planning to expand their recommendations for those age groups. So surveillance in California is conducted primarily by the immunization branch. We work in conjunction with the 61 local health jurisdictions. We also have the California Emerging Infections Program, which operates in three of the San Francisco Bay Area counties. And statewide laboratory surveillance has been enhanced in recent years to include both serogroup identification and strain subtyping using MILVA analysis. And MILVA, for those of you that don't know, is, multivariable locus tandem repeat analysis, something like that. But it, the advantage of MILVA is that you don't need to have an isolate in order to do serogroup identification, what you would need for PFGE. So just to put it into context, meningococcal disease incident has always had kind of a sigmoidal pattern, and it's come down drastically in the last few years. So we're focusing on the last 4 years, or 5 years really, to see if we can see any direct impact from the conjugate vaccine. So our study population included all probable and confirmed cases with disease onset from September 2000 through August of 2007. And we considered the pre-vaccine time period to be September of 2000 through August of 2005, and the post-vaccine time period to be September of 2005 through August of 2007. So since the recommendations first came out in May, the earliest we'd probably see much uptake wouldn't occur before that disease season. So this includes 7 complete disease seasons, 5 before and 2 after the licensure and ACIP recommendations. And when I refer to a disease season, I'm referring September through August of the following year. And in California, the majority of cases occur December through April, and we have low points in September and August. So looking at overall incidence and mortality by serogroup, we had a total of 1,398 cases that were reported for an incidence of 0.55 per 100,000. And we had a total of 146 deaths, so approximately 10%. The majority of cases were in serogroup B, it was 38%, but the majority of deaths were serogroup C, and that was 36%, and that is typical. We also had a quarter of the cases serogroup C, and 15% serogroup Y. But 21% were either ungroupable or had unknown serogroup. So 93% of the cases were laboratory confirmed with an isolate from a sterile site. And of these, 57% were a blood isolate, 25% a CSF isolate, 15% had both a blood and CSF isolate, and 1% had another sterile site isolate. 7% were probable, and 82% of these were PCR positive from a sterile site, and 18% had only a positive antigen test. So the question is, has the meningococcal conjugate vaccine made an impact? Has the incidence of vaccine-preventable disease declined? And is this more prominent in the age groups protected by the vaccine? Has the incidence of non-vaccine-preventable disease increased? And have we seen a serogroup shift towards serogroup B? And finally, has mortality rate declined? And is this due to fewer deaths from serogroup C cases? So looking overall at incidence across all serogroups by age, we see, as a standard, you see a high incidence in infants under the age of one with a peak in adolescents and young adults. And incidence has gone down across all age groups except for the oldest age group of adults 65 and older. The only rate difference between the pre-vaccine time period and the post-vaccine time period that was significant was in the adolescents and young adults aged 11 to 20. So this got us interested that maybe perhaps we were seeing early indication of the vaccine having an impact. So are we seeing evidence of a serogroup shift? This graph on the left is the pre-vaccine time period, and on the right is post-vaccine. And we actually don't see more cases of serogroup B or a higher proportion of cases of serogroup B like we might have expected. We actually see a slight decrease. And we see more cases of serogroup C in the post-vaccine time period and more cases of serogroup Y. So this is a bit unexpected. But 22% of the cases in the pre-vaccine time period were unknown, and compared to only 8% in the post-vaccine time period. So if for some reason cases of serogroup C and Y were less likely to be identified or diagnosed in the pre-vaccine time period, it could explain why we saw more in the post-vaccine time period. But it's unclear why we're not seeing this. So looking specifically at serogroup B incidence, again, none of these rate differences were significant, but we do see a trend that this is remaining consistent. And the only difference that looks interesting is infants under the age of one, and we actually see the incidence of serogroup B declined. Now looking specifically at vaccine-preventable disease, looking at serogroups A, C, Y, and W135, again, none of the rate differences were significant. However, the trend is that rates actually increased across all age groups except for adolescents and young adults aged 11 to 20. And this is the group that if we were to see any decline in vaccine-preventable incidence, it would be here. So this is possibly a sign that we're seeing an impact of the vaccine. So looking closer at this age group, this column here is rates pre-vaccine and this is post-vaccine, with the number of cases and the rate plus the rate ratio and the confidence intervals. So we see that incidence declined significantly across all serogroups, but looking at serogroup specific rates, it's a bit unclear because neither the vaccine preventable serogroups or serogroup B show significant decrease. But we do know that this age group is directly impacted by the vaccine. So if we were to see a decline, this is where we would see it. Now looking at case fatality rates at all serogroups, they remain very stable in children under the age of 10, but once you get to adolescents and adults, the rates appear to have gone down. So looking specifically at mortality rates in adults, overall mortality has declined significantly across all serogroups, but again, looking at serogroup-specific rates, we don't see a significant decline in either the vaccine-preventable or in serogroup B. So has the meningococcal conjugate vaccine made an impact yet? Well, incidence of disease in adolescents and young adults aged 11 to 20 has declined significantly. And incidence of vaccine-preventable disease has remained stable, but trends do show an increase in all age groups except for adolescents and young adults aged 11 to 20, as a sign that perhaps if there is an impact, we are seeing it there. Incidence of non-vaccine-preventable disease has remained stable, and we have not seen a serogroup shift towards serogroup B. And we have seen mortality rates decreased in adults 20 years and older, but this is likely due to factors other than the vaccine. So our conclusions are that we didn't see any clear changes in incidence and mortality rates as a result of the vaccine uptake yet. But we do know that serogroup identification has improved over the study period, and that the large proportion of cases with unknown serogroup in the pre-vaccine time period made the serogroup-specific trends difficult to interpret. So this baseline analysis is is good for us to compare trends as the conjugate vaccine uptake continues with the current ACIP recommendations. So I'd like to thank all of our partners in the California Department of Public Health, as well as the local health departments who conduct our surveillance and contact investigations for each case. So thank you.